that light really bright in your face?
No, y'all, Russell asked me the same question.
It's hitting
it
me.
Really isn't. You know what it is doing, though?
What?
It's brightening up your luscious locks on top of your head.
Oh, is it glistening?
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Well, 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 look who is back in the studio.
Here we are.
Can you believe it?
We did it again.
We haven't aged a bit.
I was a little tardy. Apologize for that.
You know,
got a lot of meetings. Things are happening. You know, stuff's going on. We're doing this and that.
I did become slightly concerned when you texted me and said, "Where are you?"
Yeah, I didn't know where you were.
Because unless we have completely revamped and moved the entire studio elsewhere.
Calendars are meaningless to
really
me
are.
Sometimes,
all
unfortunately.
Over the place. How have you been?
I'm well. I had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you did.
Yeah, I did.
This is week after Thanksgiving, though. Today's Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, so it's, you know, 4 or 5 days after the long holiday weekend.
Yeah, it was good. Had some good food and terrible football game on Saturday, but
it was an awesome football game,
you know,
wasn't it, Mr. Producer?
Well, no.
I was a little disappointed we didn't run the score up a little bit more, but I think we did the best we could.
Whether you're a Clemson or Carolina fan, that was not a game to be proud of.
No, it was not.
And of course, for Carolina, there's always next year.
Spoken like a true Gamecock.
Well, a long-suffering.
Let me say this:
Gamecock
if you
fan.
Follow, if you're a fan of basketball.
Yeah.
The Clemson Tigers and the Gamecocks, men's, are both undefeated in their record. And the Gamecock women are just blazing a trail. Clemson women's soccer is in the Final Four. Let's talk about some women's sport.
We went to the last two Carolina games, home games, and right down in front of us was, I guess it's an area that's reserved for student athletes.
Right.
And Camila Cardozo and a good number of the women's basketball players were coming down there and hanging out, and people were just besieging them asking for selfies. And so it was a lot of fun to watch those kids having fun and all the fans who appreciate the team. So
I love that. I love the excitement over, you know, I don't know what it's like to not live in a university town. Because I grew up in Columbia, and then I went to College of Charleston for undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
So the excitement surrounding a university, a big university, and the sports teams, you know, I'm just kind of used to it. I don't know what I would do. I mean, my kids think going to a USC basketball game or baseball game or football, you know, that's just what everybody does.
something you do.
I mean,
yeah.
So we're a little over a month.
Correct.
From the start of the second half of the 2023-2024 legislative session.
Correct.
Starts January the 9th, I believe. It's that second Tuesday in January. And what I want to talk about, Scott, is we're going to save the issue part. We're going to dig into the issues with Joni and Erica at a different, you know,
in a couple of weeks.
Episode.
We'll
get to that.
Our board of directors is going to be meeting on the 13th and approving our advocacy initiatives and agenda.
Right. So they're going to
set that agenda
and then we'll talk about the agenda items after they've approved it. So we'll know exactly what direction we're going
in. Yeah, the specific things that we know we're going to have to work on. And in addition to our advocacy initiatives, we'll talk about that. That'll be a long show. It'll be a good show.
Really what I want to talk about it's related to that because we're going to have to work through those issues, right? Like the priorities that they've set for us. We're going to have to work through those while all of these other things are going on.
What will be an interesting legislative environment.
Yes.
Right?
Would you say hostile?
I don't know. I don't know that it will be hostile towards us.
Saying like in general.
It is likely going to be contentious,
number
of issues.
Right. The reason being is because I believe the issues that they're going to tackle are going to be hot issues. They're going to be divisive and they're going to be personal.
And why it's why those are important to us is because of the amount of time that these things are going to occupy in the General Assembly on top of what should be regular business,
right?
Like passing a budget.
Correct.
So,
and what these issues do to the relationships among people in the General Assembly how they affect business going forward.
Correct.
So coming up on the 2024 session, we have an election year.
Yes.
The last time that House and Senate were both up at the same time was 2020. The House runs every 2 years, so they were last elected in 2022.
Right.
But the Senate is four-year terms, so they were last, they ran elections in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So now they are gearing up, the 46-member Senate, they are gearing up to run for re-election.
In newly drawn districts.
In newly drawn districts based on the 2020 census.
Right.
There are some changes that are some are huge changes and some are not so huge changes.
Yeah, I would argue that most of the districts have not changed significantly in terms of their boundaries.
Right, but there are areas of the state with the 2020 census that lost population pretty dramatically.
Yes.
And then there are areas of the state that gained huge amounts of population, which if you have a district with a large population, then the district, the actual lines of the district will be smaller.
Right.
But if you have a district that has lost a population, your district's going to be huge.
Because geographically.
Yes. Geographically.
Because you have to get X number of, how many,
149
or something 150,000 people in each of the 46 districts.
Right. So you have
And you can't add districts.
No.
Can't
you may
create
not.
New ones. There's,
you may not. You
there's
may
46
move,
total, and that's all you get
you
for
may
the
move
entire state.
Them around,
right.
Which is what happened in this redraw in 2020, is that there was a Midlands Senate district, the current Senator Harpootlian, Senate District 20, I believe, they created a new District 20 in Charleston.
The number stays the same.
Yes.
They just moved
just
that
moved,
numbered
right.
district to a more populated
Correct.
Part of the state
Correct.
In order to get those numbers, the density of the number of residents more equal.
And then a different district kind of swallowed up or, you know, encompassed the old District 20, I guess is the best way to explain it.
Yes.
Which puts two incumbents in the same district, which was Senator Nikki Setzler in Lexington and Senator Dick Harpootlian in Richland County.
In moving District 20 down there to Charleston, that is likely going to flip that from a Democrat seat to a Republican seat.
So 20, as it's drawn right now, was a Republican seat.
Yes, that's right. It was
and
John
Senator,
Corson's seat.
Right, Senator Harpootlian.
That was 2 terms ago. That was 8 years ago,
he
right?
He flipped it. Right. He served 2 terms. So he flipped that from red to blue. I don't know.
I would presume that the new 20 is going to go red. I would guess.
I haven't looked at where that is. I haven't looked at where that.
But the map drawers.
I haven't looked at it.
I would expect, though, that the map drawers. I would expect that that's going to pick up a Republican seat. Let me put it that way.
I would guess.
And increase the Republican majority in the Senate by at least one
at
more.
At least one. But. There is, and we're kind of, I feel like we may be all over the place on this, but that's okay. everybody follow us, okay?
Yeah, keep up.
There is a push by the ultra-conservative Freedom Caucus to increase its numbers. So that.
In the entire state house.
In the entire state house.
Not just in the House of Representatives, but also in the Senate.
In the entire state house.
Yes.
So I think that they are efforting candidates to run against Republicans, not only Democrats, but Republicans.
Right. Well, I'm not worried about necessarily at this point the intra-party makeup. I guess what's the total number of R's and the total number of D's going to be in the Senate after this first time running in their new districts? That'll be interesting to see because We know of one district that is currently Democratic that has drawn in a super red part of another county and is likely to flip that one also, if I had to guess, but I might be wrong.
You know,
we'll see.
It's going to be very interesting to watch.
So suffice
what happens and who, but there is an effort against Democrats and Republicans to gain more traction with the Freedom Caucus to increase those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are finding candidates to mm-hmm. run against everybody.
Yeah.
And it is going to create, do I say ill will? Maybe some tension among
well,
colleagues, right?
It is certainly something that is a recent change in that you have a intra-party rivals who are primarying people within their own party. So that's something that I've not seen until the creation of the Freedom Caucus a couple of years ago, and it's intensifying this year, as I understand it.
Scott, usually you left your incumbents alone.
Right.
You know, but they would get the support of the caucus. And
rules are out the door. Norms are out the door anymore. So, you know,
out the door. I've never seen anything quite like this.
This is
uncharted territory.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. So so we've got the electoral politics at play.
And a lot of people, there are House members that have come out and said, I'm planning on running against these senators. There are non-elected officials that have said, I'm going to run against my senator because I don't like them.
Yeah.
There are, you know, House members that are finding people to run against other House members. There are House members that are not returning.
Yeah.
That have chosen to retire
right.
or
mm-hmm.
choose a different path. And there are several senators that have already said, you know what, I'm done, you know, with this part of my career.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go do something else. So the rumor mill is on fire.
I love it. It's fantastic. And it's just going to get even better until filing the primary filing date ends on March the 30th,
it
right?
It is. Yes.
It's
going to
be fantastic.
It is going and leading up, it's almost like this, it's like this anticipation. It's like this snowball
mm-hmm.
and it's all like this whole month, you know, like up until they all get to Columbia.
I can hear the train way back off down the tracks.
When I remember vividly former Representative Jim Harrison. He always sat in the back of the House chamber. And if they were debating a bill and it was very obvious where it was going,
mm-hmm.
it was very obvious that the bill was going to pass, he had a train whistle. And all of a sudden you'd hear this faint like, and everybody would be like, okay, man, like that's it. And you knew that it was Chairman Harrison, and you knew that he
was
just like, hey, train's on the tracks, man, get out of the way.
That was better than invoking cloture, right?
Right, yeah. Everybody was just like, yeah, he's right.
Okay,
let's just move on.
Keep moving.
So there are going to be some kind of outstanding social issues that are lingering social issues that are on this kind of surrounding everything else,
yes.
right? Like that
mm-hmm.
we have to work through in order to get our issues.
Yeah, we're going to have to find seams that we can exploit in between
right.
these culture war issues coming up back to back.
It's like trying to find cracks that you can kind of get through that
yeah.
you're like,
yeah.
all right, now wait a minute. That day,
yeah.
they don't have anything
if
on special
a, yeah.
order. They don't have anything,
if
you know, ready to debate. Let me see if we can get it right
yeah.
in there.
Can we anticipate the pause in the culture war at this point in those battles so that we can get in there and get our business done and then
so
get
I know
out of the
that
way?
You read the newspapers. I read the newspapers.
I do.
We see, we
although,
have,
you know, the only physical newspaper that I ever get to read anymore, one that comes to my house and
right.
I can open up and, you know, feel in my fingers is the voice of Blythewood and
oh, no way.
And Fairfield County, yes. So
you don't take the state paper?
No. I read it all. It's all online
yeah, it's
now.
All
it's
online.
All computers these days, Casey.
Here we go. You're showing your age, Scott. You're showing your age.
It's all computers.
You knew I had to get that in there. So let's talk a little bit about it. We've seen in the newspapers several articles over the last several months about judicial reform.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen these candidates that are complaining about the process. We've seen people that have no idea about the process complain about it. And then we've seen people that know about the process complain about it.
Yeah.
They've gone after certain lawyer legislators. They've gone after conservative legislators, liberal legislators. They've gone over all, everybody is going after legislators that sit on this Judicial Merit Selection Commission,
right,
that screens judges or people, yeah, who want to be a judge.
So the JMSC vets and then does or does not qualify candidates, be they new candidates or incumbent judges, for reappointment. And that reappointment has to take place by a vote of the entire General Assembly. And so because so many lawyer legislators, I think it's all lawyer legislators, and or it's not all lawyer legislators, there are many lawyer legislators that are on the JMSC.
No, not all of them, because there are a ton of them. Yeah. You have to be appointed, right, to the JMSC.
But there are a number of lawyer legislators who then, after these judges are appointed, also practice in front of these,
correct,
judges. And so to critics of that system, it provides an undue influence over a judge's decision and treatment of those lawyer legislators when they're in front. That's the accusation.
Correct.
Of course, those lawyer legislators say, hey, you know, the judges exercise their discretion without our influence in the courtroom. I get treated just like anybody else in the courtroom, mm-hmm, according to that judge. So there are arguments to be made on both sides of that. But there is going to be a push. And in fact, the Speaker of the House, Merle Smith, didn't, yeah, he appoint an ad hoc committee to review judicial reform?
Yes, they met two or three times. And yeah, ironically, they met at the exact same time
as the
JMSC, yeah, was meeting. And, you know, we also saw where Attorney General Alan Wilson testified in front of that committee.
Three other statewide prosecutors, solicitors did too.
And talked
about bipartisan too.
How, you know, maybe don't change the way it's done, but give us a seat at the table,
yeah,
or let us have some input, or let the governor have some input. We are one of two,
yeah, I think Virginia is the only other one.
Legislature elects judges.
Whereas in other states, it's the public that elects judges. And so, I don't know about that. I don't know about that system either. So I don't know which is better. Just so long as I get treated fairly when I'm in front of a judge is really all that matters.
So that argument is going to, that's going to involve a lot of different.
That's going to get testy.
It is. And it's going to involve a lot of different people, because there's going to be your non-lawyers, and then there'll be your defense attorneys, and then there'll be your workers' comp lawyers, and then there'll be your, you know, public defense. There's so many different types of lawyers in the General Assembly, and they all have an opinion about it.
The proponents and the opponents of that on this issue are bipartisan.
Oh yes,
this is not a partisan issue
at all. That is a great point. This is not a partisan issue.
Those who are for it, the current system, are bipartisan. Those who are against it are bipartisan. So that might be the best bipartisan showing of anything that we'll see on any of these issues that we're going to talk about.
And Scott, I believe that we will see. So we've already had one day of pre-file bills. We've got one Senate day, which is the 30th. And then we've got another House day,
yeah,
which is the 15th of December. We could easily see some bills related to judicial reform.
Sure. Yeah.
Come out of these pre-files.
Have we not seen one in the first round yet? I don't recall seeing it.
I don't remember seeing them.
It's been a week since I've looked at those.
But that's going to take up some time.
Yep.
And you know, something that people don't, we work in a bubble.
Yes, we do.
We've talked about that. We follow this stuff because it's our job, but it takes a special person. And we are special people. And when I say special, I don't mean normal.
My mama said I was special. She always told me I was.
Well, bless her heart. She was correct. we follow this stuff. We understand that this is a legislatively controlled state.
Yes.
The governor has very little power.
Oh.
And if the legislature, do you think, and this is not a rhetorical question, I want you to answer it.
Yes.
Do you think the legislature would give up one of the things that gives them power?
No.
Right.
No. They're not going to do that.
They're
not going to do that.
I just think we may see some reforms, but I don't think it's going to be a complete overhaul and let the people elect judges.
It'll be on the edges, yeah. Yeah, there'll be some like...
They'll nip around.
There'll be some process changes and, right. You know, maybe some...
Maybe some different appointees.
Some more objective type criteria, judgment. I don't know. I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to that issue, except to the extent that it's going to affect how we can get our things pushed forward. So,
The budget.
Yeah.
The budget starts in the House of Representatives.
We will have a bigger budget than this year's record budget, but it won't be as much bigger as this year's biggest ever state budget.
So the additional money is not going to be as much as it was last year.
What do we have? $2.1 billion with a B dollars in additional revenues for this current fiscal year.
Are you saying it's not going to be?
We're not going to have that much. We'll have more revenue than we.
Okay.
Then we need, but
right.
It won't be $2.1 billion, but it'll be more.
And the budget takes up time.
Yeah.
Starts in the House Ways and Means Committee, and it makes its way through the House, and then over to Senate Finance, makes its way through.
Let's hope they get it done before the last second of the fiscal year, like they did this year. So, but that was a unique circumstance. That was a fight over the veterinary school.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
So we've got judicial reform lingering out there. We've got the budget lingering out there. The budget is something they have to do.
Yes.
Judicial reform is not something that they have to do.
No.
But we believe it's there.
They're going to do that. Yeah.
As far as the social issues, they left the 2023 session with constitutional carry in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That's any gun for anybody, anytime, anywhere, no training, no permit, whatever.
So the legislature passed the open carry with training bill.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that says you can openly carry a pistol.
If you've got a CWP.
If you have a CWP.
Yeah.
But
concealed weapons permit for those of you who are...
the untrained.
What am I thinking? Acronym challenged. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Producer.
So that bill, and this is me speculating, Scott.
I love rank speculation. It's fantastic.
This is me speculating. In an election year where you had a super conservative caucus finding people to run against incumbent Republicans, incumbent Republicans would want to look conservative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
And passing a bill that is a Second Amendment that supports the Second Amendment.
Fulfills the promise of your Second Amendment rights. That's correct.
Just in case the British try to take us back, right?
I don't think I got to worry about the Brits so much.
That, to me, would be an issue if I were going to have to run in a Republican primary.
Yeah.
I believe that Republican primary voters are interested in Second Amendment.
Yes, they are.
So I'm going to want to debate that bill.
I'm not going to just debate it. I'm going to vote for it.
I want that bill to come out of committee, and
absolutely.
I want it on the floor, and I want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
I want to be able to have my chance at the podium.
I'm going to vote for it.
To talk about guns.
100%.
That, like we said earlier in the podcast, it's emotional. It's personal.
Because not to vote for it gets you painted as weak
soft on guns.
Soft on guns.
That's
not supportive of the Second Amendment.
Yes. So I believe that's going to be a big issue. I think they're really going to concentrate on that.
Yes.
I also think that while the legislature passed the 6-week abortion, the heartbeat bill, heartbeat bill.
Yes.
The courts affirmed.
Yes. State Supreme Court did. Yes.
That bill.
As expected.
I believe that the abortion proponents or the abortion opponents,
right.
The pro-life supporters, I think they're going to come back with a all-out ban, no exceptions.
Total ban, no exceptions, yes.
Because it's an election year, I'm going to go back to what I just said. Republican primary voter, abortion is a huge issue.
Yes.
Do you or don't you want to talk about that?
Yes.
Do you say, we've already done it, let's put this to bed
no.
and get to the work of the people?
Mm-mm. Because somebody somebody, one of your potential primary opponents is certainly going to say, yes, we should ban all abortions.
Right, right. So then they're
you got to match that. You got to keep up with that.
You have to talk about it so you can have your picture on a mailer.
Sure.
Because at this point, that's really where we're looking toward elections.
Well, you know, though, Casey, well, yes, to the primary voter, yes, that's what you have to do. I was getting ready to say, after we've seen several statewide votes, statewide referenda in other states to affirm abortion rights, I would say, you know, maybe you don't have to, but yes, in a Republican primary, yes, you must hold that position. Yep. You got to. No question about it.
To be able to get out of it.
And for anybody who's thinking that there's going to be a statewide referendum put on a South Carolina ballot to ask you whether or not we should have abortion rights, enshrine abortion rights in our state constitution, that's not going to happen.
In fact, that's what the sister senators,
one of the compromises that they proposed was, all right, you know,
put it to the people.
If we're so confident that this is what the people of South Carolina want, then let's put it in front of them, let them vote on it. But we didn't get that.
That was something they didn't want to do. Because I think in polls it showed, because I believe that there were several polls done that, you know, people were not necessarily supportive of an all-out ban.
That's right.
So that's going to be that, to go back to what we said earlier, personal issue. It is a volatile issue.
Yep.
It's personal, just like these other ones.
Yes.
That causes people to talk a long time and very passionately and very personally. So
yeah, and that's the most corrosive part of these debates is that they do eventually turn personal.
Many times
they turn personal, and that erodes collegiality and a spirit of wanting to work together
and compromise
in the state. Not saying that that's what's gonna happen, but certainly that has happened in the past, and there's the potential for it this time as well. So.
There was a pre-filed bill in this latest House grouping that required public buildings to have female-exclusive and male-exclusive changing areas if they have a water closet in a changing area.
Right.
In that bill, it defines gender, which is moving toward the transgender debate. We were told that transgender issues, medications, and procedures was going to be a topic in the Senate.
Yeah,
that was guaranteed. This is a House bill that was introduced.
I wonder how many transgender students we have, or under 18 transgender
kids across
South Carolina.
I don't know. Do you remember?
Probably not many.
We followed a bill when former Senator Lee Bright introduced
the bathroom bill.
Yeah. Because he included, I think, municipalities in the language, or maybe just public buildings.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
So we followed that bill. It didn't go anywhere, but that was before that issue became the transgender issue became such a hot topic.
Yeah, that wasn't an issue back then
for politicians.
Didn't they debate that on the floor of the Senate at one point? I just have this vivid image of Senator Bright standing in at the well, and he was excitable.
I have a vivid image of him sitting in that small committee room, like on the fifth floor in the Gresset building. And he was sitting behind the desk, and he had a subcommittee that was hearing it, but nobody came.
Right. Yeah.
And it was just him by himself. And the room was packed because so many people were there for and against. And it just got very,
I give him credit,
very heated. And
I'll give him credit. And he made sure that we noted for credit for him that he came to one of our mayor's meetings at the Thirsty Fellow one time, or it was that we were.
Did he?
No, no, we were doing a Senate Judiciary reception, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or a feed. Yeah, he came there and he's like, and he came in and, you know, he said hello to everybody and we chatted and he was like, now I want to get credit for being here now, y'all. Make sure you give me credit. I'm like, you got it, Senator.
Sure.
Yeah.
No problem. Anything else that you can think of
that's all there is? I thought there was more on your list than that.
They're really, I mean, elections. We have said this before, Scott, and we've said it over and over again. Elections have consequences.
Yes, that's correct.
These issues, when you debate issues, social issues, that debate has consequences.
Yeah.
Passing these bills have consequences.
Yeah.
And it's not just a campaign mailer. They have consequences.
Everybody just keep talking to your friends, relatives, and emphasize to them that the primary election in the first Tuesday in June, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in June,
right,
is the election. Okay.
Right.
Because of the way our legislative districts are drawn.
Yes.
They are drawn to protect whoever's
the party.
In the party that's in place at that time. So if you don't like, if your only option is to vote in the Republican primary, then you need to vote in the Republican primary for your preferred candidate, because depending on which district you're in, you need to do a little homework.
That's right. Because with the way they're drawn, some of these districts, you know, if you like the incumbent,
yeah,
support the incumbent.
Right. Right.
If you want to change, then do your research. But
because because if they get a general election opponent, it ain't gonna matter. Because the district is drawn.
You've got to get them out if they're in a primary.
Right.
But then there will be some general elections that are going to be pretty hotly contested.
You think so?
Not a majority, I wouldn't say.
No, by no means.
But there will be some. And I think it's probably going to be more in the democratically drawn seats. Because the Republicans will try to increase majority.
For sure. One of those Senate seats that I mentioned a minute ago that has a ruby red enclave.
Yeah.
It's not even an enclave. A ruby red part of that district has been drawn into it.
Right. That's tough.
Newly drawn into it. So
right.
It's going to be tough.
And I think
that has zero relationship geographically to the
county seat.
The county
or not
seat.
The county seat, but or the, it's more than one the, county, but
yeah,
the central of the,
yeah,
like the central.
Where that senator resides
right.
now
That's right.
has no geographic relationship whatsoever.
Listen,
with
had
this
to pick
newly
up population, man. People are moving.
Yeah.
People are getting out of here.
Yeah.
They're moving, but they're not moving to that area. They're moving to the coast.
No, that's right.
They're moving to Rock Hill and Tiga K.
Yeah.
They're moving to Greenville.
Oree County
they're
as well.
They're moving to Oree. They're moving to Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm. Myrtle Beach, I mean, I keep seeing it all the time in the media that Myrtle Beach is like the number one fastest growing area in South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
But the reason we're talking about this today is because our municipal officials, our main audience.
Yes.
We need to understand what we're dealing with.
You need to understand the context. You need to understand the environment.
We need to understand the environment mm-hmm. that we're all walking into as a group.
Yeah.
That we're all living with.
Right.
We're all being together on.
Yeah.
And we got to realize kind of how it's going to be extremely strategic.
Yes.
In how we move bills.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very careful how we are moving bills. This is not just, you know, gangbusters. We're not just hurry up. We got to pass this. Yeah. It's got to be so strategic.
Because we can, as has happened in the past, occasionally our bills and issues are used as leverage to extract some concession from some other legislator that's on a bill or issue that's totally unrelated.
Unrelated. Has no relation to municipal government at all.
Right. Right. So.
But
it's trading. It's horse trading. It's
right.
It's bargaining. Yeah, that happened, and that's part of the legislative process.
It is part of, to quote a famous mayor, it's part of legislating.
That's right. It's part of legislating.
It's part of legislating.
I like that.
Well, I'd like to end on a real high note.
Okay, sure.
got a really good trivia question. Oh, for
I forgot
today.
About the trivia.
That's why I wanted to spring it on you.
I've missed trivia, Mr. Producer.
All right, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Read it out.
If you answer this, then I'm going to take that light thing and break a window. And
read it out.
Rip these trivia questions up.
Now you've just
blow them out of the
set
window.
Me up for failure here.
When you give the full names of the municipalities in South Carolina, like city of or town of,
mm-hmm.
how many and who are they? How many have the word city twice or town twice? There's extra credit on this one that has both. So first of all, give me the names of the cities or towns that have city or town twice, and then think about the extra credit.
Well, the first comes off the top of my head is the city of Lake City.
Yes, of course. Former Mayor Loveth Johnson, no, Loveth Anderson,
so
and
do,
current Mayor Yamikia Robinson.
Do they have to repeat city or town, or can they contain both?
They could.
So here's,
they have to repeat.
They have to repeat.
So the extra credit.
So city of Georgetown does not count.
That's the extra credit.
Oh, sorry.
Jerk.
That was the extra credit.
Well, you got the extra credit.
Okay.
Go ahead and see what is heavy enough to see if I can break one of these unbreakable windows.
Counts for something.
And you've gotten one of the list of city or towns that...
City of Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, let me think here. Give me some geography clues. Give me some...
The Savannah region, upper Savannah,
gosh,
side
gotta be,
of the
it's
state.
It's got to be a town of something.
Mm-hmm.
Town of what's another something town?
The other one is in down in the BCD cog, Berkeley, Charleston, Dorchester.
Golly,
I'll tell you, they're both small.
Well, I presume that they would be town of something or other. That would have town in it.
I'm starting to feel better now. After you blew up with the extra credit, I was about to just be like, I give up.
City of Georgetown and then town of, I don't know. I can't think of it. You got me under pressure here. Towns of what?
One is in Aiken County.
Golly. I thought I knew the towns in.
Town of Burnettown.
Burnettown. Yes, of course. Yes.
And
ooh,
then the other one is
tough
in
one.
Berkeley County.
It's in Berkeley County.
Mm-hmm. The town of Jamestown.
Jamestown. Yes, of course. Jamestown and
Burnettown.
I
feel better, Mr. Producer.
I got half of them.
You got the extra credit.
I got half of them.
I knew when you asked me, can it contain one of each?
I got half of them. Burnettown and Jamestown.
Yeah. Lake City. City of Lake City. Town of Burnettown.
I'm ashamed to admit this, but I don't think that I've ever been to either Burnettown or Jamestown.
No way.
Yes. But I mean, there's probably 100 cities and towns of the 271. No, that's fewer than that of the 271 that I haven't been to.
I think
there's a lot more.
I think you and I need to get a list of all 271.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to visit all 271. And yeah. I don't mean drive through them.
Right. No.
Because I've driven through a ton.
It takes time, though.
But I mean, like a visit.
Well, that's what the pins on my map are
right,
in my office,
because
right. That's where I've been to. I've actually conducted business
right.
there, not personal business, but municipal association business
right.
in those
you've
jurisdictions.
You've been to a meeting, or
yes.
you've been.
Yes.
I mean, we've hit a lot with
the Rams, yeah.
17 years, 16 years of yeah. regional advocacy meetings.
Yeah. Okay.
Scott, let's talk to Joni and Erica and get them in the studio.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And kind of talk about how they feel about the upcoming session.
Oh, boy.
And then we'll get into which, y'all, that'll be fun.
Those two.
And then
together.
maybe we'll bring in Mary Catherine.
Mary Catherine Lawton, the latest addition to our advocacy team, advocacy and communications team. She is our newly hired research and legislative analyst.
Very excited about MC.
She is a municipal veteran of the cities of Rock Hill and Aiken, so we're happy to have her on board. So yeah.
Hartsville, I thought.
What did I say?
Rock Hill.
I meant Hartsville, not Rock Hill. Hartsville. Why did I say Rock Hill?
The city with Hart
Hartsville and Aiken, yes.
Very excited about MC. But let's talk about getting them in here.
Yep.
And giving our listener
that'll be sometime that'll be after December the 13th when yes. we have the board meeting and they approve yes. the advocacy initiative.
We'll do another episode before then and concentrate maybe on some pre-files.
So next week then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's appointment listening, Mr. Producer.
I think I'll invite him back, Mr. Producer. He did okay today. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.